Welcome to Oncology Data Advisor, where we explore the latest advances in cancer research and patient care. Thanks for listening to this episode. Be sure to visit oncdata.com for more content, including expert perspectives from leading oncology thought leaders, FDA approvals, patient advocacy, and much more. And don't forget to subscribe to Oncology Data Advisor on social media to stay up to date on the latest videos, podcasts, and more.
Hi, Dr. Jagannath. My name is Alankrita Taneja, and I'm a third-year fellow at Roswell Park Cancer Institute. I'm also a part of the Oncology Data Advisors Fellows Forum, and I'm delighted to be talking about the LINKER-MM trial with you. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Sundar Jagannath, Professor of Medicine at Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai, New York.
Wonderful. So, we've seen some exciting results from the phase one and phase two trials for linvoseltamab. Would you like to just introduce the drug and, what all trials and how long, just generally an outline of the trial?
Okay, so linvoseltamab is a fully human IgG4 bispecific antibody directed against the BCMA and CD3, T cells. So it is a T cell engager antibody along with, binding to the plasma cells. So it is a bispecific antibody. We have known that there are two other bispecific antibodies are already approved in multiple myeloma, and both of them have shown pretty high response rate in this group, 61 and 63%. So we are all excited about bispecific antibody. And this is an experimental and bispecific antibody, which we hope will get approved and become available for the patient. The study design, as in any of the experimental therapy right now, is participants or adult patients who have progressed on three prior lines of therapy, three or more prior lines of therapy, and have been exposed to PI, IMID, and an anti-CD38 monoclonal antibody, or they were in the phase one portion, double refractory patients were eligible, and in the phase two portion, like in the study, triple class refractory patients were eligible to participate on this study. The uniqueness of this treatment is it is given intravenously, weekly for the first 14 weeks, and then afterwards it's given every 2 weeks until 6 months or 24 weeks. And if the patient had achieved VGPR or better, then it was reduced to once every 4 weeks. So this was practically designed to reduce the frequency of administration to improve the patient convenience. The first 14 weeks, why did we give it more frequently? Because you want to have the target level and maintain it, because the responses are rapid, but you want to, during the first 3 months, you want to maintain a good threshold so that you get the maximum response to this particular drug.
I think the other two approved bispecifics, as per the Majestic and Magnetism trials, are teclistamab and elrentamab, and they are given subcutaneously. And so what is the difference in the dosing for our drug as compared to these?
Okay. The approved drugs are subcutaneous, as you pointed out. There is a subcutaneous development for this particular drug. Because this is a fully humanized antibody, IgG4, that doesn't bind to the Fc gamma receptor, so it is not engaging those things. The side effect profile is, infusion-related reactions are very minimal. And also, because it is a fully human antibody, there is no anti-drug antibody for this one. So the drug was developed as intravenous, but as you know, for convenience, there will be another set of development happening with the protocol modification for the sub-Q formulation to come forward.
Great, okay. And what are the response rates like, and what have we learned so far about its efficacy?
Okay, these are heavily pretreated patients, as I alluded to before. One quarter of the patients were actually over age 75 or above. In this patient population, the overall response rate was 71%. And if you look at VGPR or better, 62% of the patient achieved VGPR or better. And complete response rate was in 46% of the patient, complete response or better. Among the patients who are in complete response and who are eligible or evaluable for MRD assessment, either by Euroflow or by next-gen sequencing clonoSEQ, you know, 27 patients or 93% were actually found to be MRD negative. So there has been a deep response. And the next thing is, with a median follow-up of 11 months, the responses were durable. The median response duration was not reached. And at about 12 months or so, you would find that 78% of the patients were still enjoying durable responses. The median progression-free survival was also not reached because the follow-up is short, it's 11 months. But at about 12 months or 1 year mark, 69% of the patients are still progression-free. And the overall survival, obviously, the median is not reached. And at 12 months, 75% of the patients are still alive. And as a matter of fact, 53 of the 117 patients are still on ongoing treatment with this drug. So the drug is pretty efficacious. Deep and durable responses, median progression-free survival is not reached. Median duration of response is not reached. So it's a very attractive molecule.
It does seem like it has better overall responses than the currently approved bispecifics. Do you think that it is just a more potent drug or do you think that, what has been changed as compared to the drugs that we already have, that it's making it more efficacious?
It's a good question, and you are doing a fellowship. Usually, when these are all studies not compared head to head, and therefore there could be subtle variation in the patient population who were treated. So I don't want it to come out. It shows that the responses are better, the duration of response and median progression survival are all very promising, but I cannot compare to the other drugs because there would be changes in the patient population that we do not know. Unless it's a randomized trial, I truly cannot comment on that.
That's very fair. What about the side effect profile?
Okay, the side effect profile, the most common side effects for all the bispecific as a class are CRS, cytokine release syndrome, and neutropenia and anemia, and infections. So these are the most important things that we should know. So ICANS occurred very rarely in 9 patients, 3 patients grade 1, 3 patients grade 2, 3 patients grade 3, but it all resolved and usually happened at the time of the peak CRS or infusion related reaction time frame when it happened. Treatment emergent adverse events leading to death within 30 days of the last dose of the treatment was seen only in 6 patients or 5% of the patients in this cohort. And it was predominantly 5 of them were due to infection and 1 was due to renal failure. So coming back to then, the CRS, is common in all of these patients. In 46% of the patients, you have CRS, but 35% of them are grade 1 CRS, 10% grade 2, and only 1 patient had grade 3 CRS. And we can manage the CRS very well with the tocilizumab, steroids, etc. The median time to CRS was 11 hours, and the median duration was about 15 hours. And most cases of the CRS happened during the step-up dose. So after second full dose, The CRS was very rare, 1% or something like that. It's uncommon. So it is usually encountered during the step-up dose. And you know, for the first step-up dose and the second step-up dose, patients are admitted in the hospital for 24 hours. So very brief hospitalization, and you know, it is well manageable and well tolerated regarding the CRS. So the next important thing for you and me is infection. As I told, the infection occurred in 73% of the patients, and grade 3-4 was encountered in 34% of the patients. But what is remarkable, the way the study is designed, as I told you, up to 14 weeks, it is given weekly, then it automatically becomes every other week. And then after 6 months, especially patients who are in VGPR or better, it is once every 4 weeks. So if you look at it, during the first 6 months, grade 3-4 infections happens in about 21-22% of the cases. But after that, it dramatically reduced to 4%. So the study design really allows for de-escalation fairly quickly, and that has reduced the infection. And we know, even on the drugs which are approved and currently in the market, as physicians, when we are using, we are all cognizant about the infection, and we are also reducing the frequency. But this study was designed like that, and therefore the infection rate really drops off precipitously after 6 months.
That sounds good. So what are some of the future advances? I know we are having a phase 3, which is currently enrolling patients. Are we also studying it in some precursor states?
That's a very, very good question. The precursor state, you know, it depends upon which investigator you ask. There are clinical trials with CAR T in smoldering myeloma with Dr. Irene Gobriel in Dana-Farber. But most of us don't want to use these kind of agents necessarily in high-risk myeloma, because now with the myeloma defining event, patient with the MRI finding of focal lesion, or patient with bone marrow greater than 60%, even if they were asymptomatic, or kappa lambda ratio greater than 100 with one of the light chains more than 100, all of them have been moved into myeloma. So at 2 years, even in the high risk, only 50% of the patient would progress, right? So I think that we still need to define high risk even better in that subgroup. But you are right, moving bispecific antibody will be easier in this patient population. But that will be a question, investigational, and you need to have multi-institutional study, not an investigator-initiated trial, and you have to have a control arm in order to really prove. But I feel the major implication of a drug like nilmocitamab or bispecific BCMA-directed bispecific antibody in myeloma is the ease of use, the age. You know, as I said, 1/4 of the patients were over the age of 75. Even patient, if you look at the in this particular clinical trial, you know, ages up to 90 years were enrolled. So the range was all the way from 37 to 91 years. And in clinical practice, you know, clinical trial patients, there is eligibility criteria. In real world, we expand. We include some of the renal failure. We include older patients, somewhat not so fit patients. So that is the advantage of bispecific. It is an off-the-shelf. It would be much more widely available to the community docs. And the CRS is very well manageable. So I think that is what is important with the bispecific antibody.
Sounds very exciting. Since you spoke about some high-risk patients, or you know, some elderly patients that were part of the trial, I also noticed that some other high-risk patients were in, you know, a part of the trial as well, such as patients with extramedullary plasmacytomas, and even patients with high-risk cytogenetics. Can you just shed some light on that?
That's very important. This drug was effective across the board. So when you look at the forest plot, you will see that they, you know, the, I said, the overall response rate is 71%. So patients over the age of 75, the overall response rate was 71%. So the age did not make a difference in terms of the response to the treatment. ISS stage 3 patient had a response rate of 62%. High-risk cytogenetics, 67%. So, you know, the median and the range, they all crossed the 71% dotted line, showing that there is no statistical difference. So this drug works across all the different subgroups. African-Americans, you know, 17% of the patients were African-American. Their overall response rate was 85%. So you could see that the drug is quite effective across different subgroups. So going back to the one you pointed out, extramedullary disease, which was actually in this study, they were adjudicated by independent review committee that they were truly extramedullary, not paramedullary. In extramedullary disease also, the response rate was pretty good in this subgroup of patients. So I think across the board, this has done remarkably well.
And in the future, are we using at some combination of drugs in trials along with our linvoseltamab?
Absolutely. I'm sure you are right on the money. In the future, there will be a combination or how to sequence them. All of that are the most important question. And, you know, as a fellow, you know, we don't look at the, we characterize the tumor cells, but we have not been characterized the immune component or immune status of the myeloma patient. As these, you know, immune mechanism comes to play an important role, bispecific antibodies, CAR T, et cetera, I'm pretty sure we will start, you know, characterizing the patient, even looking at the their T-cell fitness and how best to treat, when to treat. All of that will become very important question for the future.
Very exciting. Very happy to hear about all the exciting results and looking forward to the results being published by AACR next week.
Thank you.